Well, this is Ed Stetzer Live, and of course, I am Ed Stetzer, and live this and every Saturday at this time, or for a lot of you, you're listening now via podcast. You know, here at Moody Radio and our partners and affiliates, we're far more driven by you hearing helpful content than you tuning in at a certain time. Though that's great, too. We love terrestrial radio. We're on 200-plus outlets across the country. But if you want to subscribe to this via podcast so you can listen anytime, you can just go to edstetzerlive.com. There's a click there to the Moody Radio app, download it, and you can listen to this program and all of our programs via Moody Radio app. Well, it is good to be here. Good to be with you. I am Ed Stetzer. I am the Dean of the Talbot School of Theology at Biola University and occasionally a motivational speaker who lives in a van down by the river. I am actually, and the reason I said that is I'm on the move today. So I'm actually in Monterey, California. I'll be preaching this weekend at Shoreline Church, and the pastor is a good friend of mine, an author that his books have sold like a million plus copies. So very excited to have him on here as well. But I'll introduce you in just a second. But like, what's Monterey famous for? That's the naval thing.
Monterey is one of the most cosmopolitan small towns in the world. Okay. We've got one of the top aquariums in the world. We've got some of the top golf courses in the world, including Pebble Beach.
Oh, Pebble Beach is here.
We've got an art center in Carmel. We have one of the largest raceways in the world, Laguna Seca Raceway. It's right near us is Salinas, which is an agricultural center. This is where TED Talks were born. It is a unique, unique place in the world because it's a small town, but the world comes here because of its beauty and because of the uniqueness of this place.
And that voice you hear is Kevin Harney. Kevin is the lead pastor of Shoreline Church. He's also an author, international speaker, who seeks to help believers grow to love God with greater passion, reach out to the world with a life-changing message of Jesus Christ. You've written many books, including the Organic Outreach series. We were just talking a minute ago. I've had you teach some at my former school. You taught some of our pastors from the book Know is a Beautiful Word. Lots of books and curriculum. Kevin Harney, we're so glad to, well, we're actually in your office. One of the amazing things, our team, you know, Bob Moreau's our brilliant engineer, they hook up from here. Like, I've got this traveling unit right here, and they hook up. And so we got our team in Chicago, Karen Hendren, our producer, so thankful for the good work that they do. I think Laura's manning the phones today. Good team we have. But we get to come and sit here in Monterey. And if you're in Monterey, or is this the Central Coast? Is that where we are?
Yeah, Central California Coast.
Central California Coast. Come join us tomorrow at well, I don't even know what service time.
9 o'clock and 11 o'clock in the morning.
I should know that. I'm preaching at them, but I'll just show up when you tell me to show up. Okay, good. So we want to talk some about, well, evangelism and discipleship in particular today. And because that's obviously a passion of yours. Now, for those of you who are unfamiliar with Organic Outreach, which I think is probably your best known book, when I was the interim teaching pastor at Moody Church in Chicago, we were having a conversation as a staff, and we said, you know, we want to up our evangelism. You know, you can't be at Moody Church, named after D.L. Moody, and not be an evangelistic church. But the reality is, evangelism wanes. It's the one thing that sort of, I don't know, people get busy with their lives or their church lives. And so we actually brought you in. You came and preached at Moody Church and helped our staff think through, and we started using Organic Outreach. So first of all, I mean, organic sounds, it sounds very California. It sounds like something you get at, you know, Whole Foods or something. So let's talk about what it is, and then we're going to get to discipleship later, but let's start with Organic Outreach. By the way, we're going to take your calls, too, and we have 5 copies of Kevin's new book, Organic Disciples, 7 Ways to Grow Spiritually and Naturally Share Jesus. It's actually by Kevin and Sherry Harney together, and we're going to give some of those away as well. Our number is going to be 877-548-3675. But let's just start with this word organic, because that means different things to different people, particularly in California.
So I'm going to define organic very simply. Organic is the way God designed things. Natural. According to God's ways. And so how do we do outreach? How do we do evangelism in a way that's consistent with how God has made us and designed us and made other people? And so I live near the Salinas Valley, and lots of agricultural people in this area. And if you ask them about organic farming, they'll tell you it's way harder because they're not using these different chemicals to kill the bugs. They have to do everything naturally. And so what I describe organic outreach as being is, how do you share your faith in a way that doesn't freak you out, doesn't freak other people out, doesn't terrify anybody, but naturally, winsomely draws people toward Jesus who loves them and who cares about them?
Okay. And so then you write Organic Outreach. And I remember when you were preaching at the Moody Church, you explained about turning the temperature up a little bit. So tell us about that. It's been a key theme.
Yeah, it's called the 1 degree rule, and I called it that because I'm not a complex thinker. I just thought, okay, how do you turn the temperature up 1 degree on your personal outreach? And so we ask people, and there's people doing this from Uganda to Australia, all over the world that we've trained and equipped and have used our resources, individual believers asking the question from 1 to 10, what's my personal outreach temperature? I'm not talking about how much you love Jesus. I'm not talking about how much you love the Bible. I'm talking about what's your temperature of love for the lost, wandering sheep that Jesus cares about. A 1 would be, I don't care about the lost. I don't think about the lost, and I wish they'd stay away from me. That's cold. 10 would be sizzling hot. Man, there's tears on my pillow when I wake up in the morning because I weep over the lost. I think about the lost. I'm engaged with people that are far from Jesus. I'm naturally sharing my faith, and they're coming to know Jesus. And most of us live somewhere between those two. But I ask people to say, where am I today? And I'd ask your listeners right now, from 1 to 10, give yourself a number. Where is your personal outreach passion and engagement? And if you say, I'm a 3, here's the 1 degree rule. Today, make yourself a 4. Mm-hmm. Pray more for the lost. Call somebody you know that doesn't know Jesus and connect with them. Read the Gospels and look at the heart of Jesus. Listen to stories or read books about people coming to faith in Jesus or sharing their faith, and you can steward your own temperature and raise it 1 degree. So if you're a 3, become a 4. If you're 8, become a 9. And here's the good news. If you're a 10, make your scale 11, turn up the temperature, and grow your passion.
Turn it up to 11.
It's 11,
that's,
baby.
That's it. Okay, so, and I think that's key. And I want to actually ask our listeners for a second to really think about that. So think about his scale, right? So I love evangelism. One of the things that I am kind of on a maybe crusade about is that people have convinced themselves that there's a gift of evangelism. Mm-hmm. I don't see it anywhere in the Bible. There's evangelists who equip God's people for what the call of every Christian is, to share the gospel. So I think everybody can turn up that temperature. So maybe you're at a 2. Maybe you're just nervous to invite someone to church for Christmas and Easter. That's okay. So what would it be like to turn that up just a little bit more? And so think about a number where you are, and then I want you to give us a little bit, Kevin, some ideas about some ways to turn that number up. Because let's say someone's saying right now, I'm a 4.
Yep.
So what would I do differently in my life? And I'll just start with one. One of the things I try to do is I try to push against, and this is going to sound silly, but I try to push against the depersonalization of everything. So, for example, you have ATMs. You go to the bank. I say, I want to go in and meet the person, because that gives me a chance to talk to them. I'll talk to the clerk at the store. I'll talk to my Uber driver. Whereas, the Uber app actually gives you an option now to press a button that you don't want anybody talking to you. It's like no conversation. And I'm not like obnoxious about it. Well, some of my kids might say that I am, but I push against depersonalization because I want to know people who don't know Jesus. I want to know my neighbors. You were talking earlier about how you had gone over and you bring Christmas gifts to your neighbors. Mm-hmm. And I left, we moved to California, and people don't, like, you know, nobody greeted us when we arrived. Like, when we moved to the Midwest in Chicago, our neighbors brought us the casseroles. And Nashville, you know, it was the same thing. When we came to California, every conversation we've had with a neighbor, we initiated.
Yeah.
So I'm going to use, because some of them are like 4 or 5 houses away, and like they never talked to us at all. So I'm going to use that. I'm going to bring them Christmas gifts. And I love that. So that's one way I push back to turn up the evangelistic temperature in my life, is to push against depersonalization. What are some others? And then I'm going to have you answer, but I'm going to ask other people. They might have examples as well. So you can call us maybe with your examples or your practice or your questions at 877-548-3675. That's 877-548-3675. So callers, you can call, tell us how maybe you turn that temperature up a little bit in your own life, what practices you have. Kevin, what are some ways you've seen that work?
First, I'm super excited to hear your listeners and some of their ideas, because there's power in that. We're always learning from each other. But let me give you 3 things. They all start with letter P, and you can remember these. Number 1 is what you leaned into right away, at proximity. Get near people. Just get near people, but especially near people that are far from Jesus. And so reconnect with old friends, reach out to family members, get to know your neighbors. So you want to raise your temperature, get around people far from Jesus, and your heart will beat for them. Partly we're just separate from people. So proximity. 2nd, prayer. Pray for those that are far from Jesus. Pray for yourself to grow in love for those that are far from Jesus. Pray for courage and boldness, and that will raise your temperature. And then here's the 3rd thing, passages. Find some passages in the Bible that talk about the heart of Jesus for the world, the love of God for the lost. You know, look at Abraham's story, where he basically is blessed. Why? To become a blessing to the nations. And so find those passages where Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, and just meditate on those passages. So proximity, prayers, passages, that will help turn up the temperature.
Good, good, good. All right, so we're going to continue our conversation in just a moment. We're also going to go to the callers as well. Remember, we're talking about maybe some ways that you've turned up the evangelistic temperature in your life, maybe some ways you seek to engage your neighbors, your friends, and your family. 877-548-3675. Just this morning, I was responding to someone who's not a Christian and was asking me what C.S. Lewis books, because he knows I like C.S. Lewis. I was recommending some to him. That's a practice I want to have in my life, maybe yours as well. We're looking for your examples. 877-548-3675. We're here with Kevin Harney talking about organic outreach and organic disciples. Hey, we're back. It's Stetzer at Stetzer Live. We have our guest today, Kevin Harney. We're live from Monterey, California, and Kevin's lead pastor of Shoreline Church, but really probably known around the world for organic outreach. Now, his new book is Organic Disciples, which kind of continues that theme in and around where organically we're seeing that kind of life change and more. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. The book is called Organic Disciples, 7 Ways to Grow Spiritually and Naturally Share Jesus by Kevin and Sherry Harney. And we have some of those to give away, Kevin. We're going to do that in just a second. But the way we do it is we give it away to brilliant, insightful callers, not to just people calling up saying, can I have a copy of my caller number 7? No. But you'll be blessed by it as well. I'm just so appreciative. I think I endorsed that book. If I didn't, I should have. I don't even know if you asked for endorsements. But all right, we got some calls coming in already. Let me remind you, we're just kind of asking maybe some ways that you naturally seek to share your faith, to turn up that temperature a degree or so. We're going to go to Catherine in Costa Mesa, listening on K-Wave there, Catherine. So you're live on the air. Go ahead with your question or your comment.
Well, hello, gentlemen. I want to let you know that I do a prayer walk every morning. You know, you're getting your steps in, you're getting your exercise, and I just pray for every single neighbor I pass. I say, Lord, this is a family, and soften the hearts. And make divine appointments for me. And Mark, there's a sober living home in my block. And, oh, you would believe, I pray for them. I tell them that Jesus is their higher power. And let me tell you something. It's amazing, the power of prayer.
Come on, Catherine. I love it. Thank you so much for your call. If you'll hold on, Karen, our producer, is going to come on and give you a copy of Organic Disciples, 7 Ways to Grow Spiritually and Naturally Share Jesus. But you got to say, it kind of reminds me of your wife's book.
Yes.
So I'm going to just open the door because we like her. Where is she today, by the way?
She is with grandkids in Michigan. But I need to say, I was born at Hogue Memorial Hospital in Costa Mesa. So that's my old stopping grounds. Grew up in Orange County there. And I love that. What a great way to live your life and to spend your time walking and praying. And God answers those prayers. God makes those divine appointments. And I have no question that God is using you and could use any listener right now who begins to prayer walk. And you can prayer drive. That my wife writes about that in her book, Praying with Eyes Wide Open, which is coming out in June, being re-released as Organic Prayer. And so,
now on an earlier version called Praying with Eyes Wide Open.
Correct.
Which at first, when you guys were telling me about that, you know, I was thinking like, you know, Russian Christians pray with their eyes wide open.
Yeah.
But it's not really that. It's basically having an awareness of what's going on around you.
Yeah. What my wife says is, if you don't pray with your eyes open, you're going to limit your time of prayer because your eyes are open a lot of the day. And so learn to pray with your eyes open and closed. It's about praying all the time, everywhere, and including when you're walking along, walking your dog, walking your neighborhood, and praying for those that need to know the love and the grace of Jesus.
Yeah, very much pray without ceasing kind of idea.
Exactly.
I love that. And Sherry's awesome as well. All right, let's go to Lisa in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, listening on WRMB. Lisa, you're live on the air with your comment. Go right ahead.
I just stepped into the conversation when I heard you say about things becoming depersonalized. And I noticed, like, so when I go to the store and there's an opportunity for checkout automated or with a person, I'll try and get one with a person, because sometimes there's even albeit brief, opportunities to encourage somebody or even, you know, bless them somehow like that. One example, a lady yesterday was saying at the register how she didn't feel well. And so I had some easy food that I had bought, and I said, well, take something if you want it, you know, because she had, you know, had a stomach ache and was hungry, I guess. So there's just little ways, I need more organic ideas, I guess, because sometimes it seems contrived. You love people and you care so much, and it's like, how do you even get in the conversation? So...
Love it. Lisa, first of all, let me just agree with you wholeheartedly that self-checkout is of the devil. That's not what you said, but it's of the devil for so many reasons. But one of the reasons is the depersonalization. So I love that you're doing that. And here's what I would also just suggest a little more. Here's what, and again, because you're looking for more ideas, what I do is, and you can't always do this, but, you know, like we have a little grocery store near us, you know, California, it's Ralph's, which I think is Kroger. I think it's like one of the sub-brands of Kroger. So, like, you could go to your Ralph's, avoid the self-checkout line, go through the checkout line, and I'll look. Like, even when I'm in a restaurant, we go to the same little restaurant near our neighborhood, and we look for the same servers, learn their names, come back. Same thing if I go to a grocery store. Now, it depends. If you have one of those huge grocery stores, our grocery store is not huge, it's harder. But you're looking for some of those ways to have those ongoing relationships. Lisa, I want you to hold on the line. We're going to give you a copy of Kevin and Sherry Harney's new book, Organic Disciples, 7 Ways to Grow Spiritually and Naturally Share Jesus. What other ways would you suggest for her to find ways to repersonalize and to engage people?
Well, one way is if you have a garage door opener and you roll into your garage and push the button behind you, stop doing that and just get to know your neighbors. One way also is we all have a circle of relationships that have kind of just cooled off and maybe disappeared. We got busy. We haven't reached out. And just to think through, I would ask all your listeners who are 2 or 3 people you haven't seen for a long time. They don't know Jesus. And if you reached out to them, they'd be glad to hear from you. And just make that reconnection. The becoming depersonalized is also about being busy and being distracted. And if we can just take that time, and I'll give one more thought too, and that is beware of your technology. If you've got a watch that brings in data, excuse me. If you've got a phone, which everyone does, sometimes we're with people, but we're actually not with them. And actually turning things off or setting them aside. I was walking through the airport yesterday and I was counting the percentage of people who had a device in their hands and were locked into it in some way. I got to about 80%. It was kind of scary. And so when you're with someone, actually be with them, because you can be in the presence of someone and not be connected to them. And that's another way to connect and become more personal.
Fascinating. And so important too, that this is a pattern that we can find in our lives. One of the things I like to do, and I think we did, when we brought you in, we did a 2-week missions conference. I think I did one of them, you did the next week. And I talked about creating a map and a list and keep it in your Bible, like a map of your neighbors who don't know the Lord, and try to build relationships. And then a list of people you're praying for as well, because you never know what the Lord's going to do as well. Super, super helpful comment, Lisa. Victoria, we're going to go to you in just a second, but let me just give our phone number again. Our phone number is 877-548-3675. We're talking to Kevin Harney. We're actually live from Monterey, California. We're talking about organic outreach, but also his new book, Organic Disciples, 7 Ways to Grow Spiritually and Naturally Share Jesus. And I love the tie of those two things together. And you and Sherry wrote that book together as well. So let's go to Victoria in Rialto, California. Victoria, you're live on the air with your question, your comment. Go right ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for being there. I enjoy the program every Saturday. I had an interesting event occur. My brother flew in from Missouri. We picked him up at Long Beach. We stayed at the Holiday Inn, and we had breakfast. We're all sitting around, and there's a big, burly gentleman that looked like a motorcycle rider. He had a T-shirt on that says, I hate people. And it just jarred me inside. I was like, my goodness, he hates people, and he's not embarrassed or ashamed to wear that T-shirt. And I wish I had my I Love Jesus T-shirt on, but I didn't. So we ate and we finished up. We went back upstairs with my brother's family and we all packed and we were leaving. Well, that big burly gentleman was outside smoking a cigarette. And I'm a 67-year-old great-grandma. So I walked up to him and my grandson, who's 22, grabbed me by the arm. Grandma, what are you going to do? I said, I just want to talk to him a minute. I felt the Holy Spirit tug at my heart. And I walked up to him and I kind of laid my hand on his shoulder. And I said, young man, can I ask you something? And he said, sure. I said, do you hate people? And he said, well, no, I don't hate everybody. And I said, well, do you hate me? And he says, no, I don't hate you. And I said, well, I don't hate you either. And I wish I had my I Love Jesus t-shirt on to let you know that Jesus loves you. I said, and I love you in the love of the Lord. And he said, oh, how nice. And I said, well, I just wanted to let you know that there is somebody that loves you. And all people don't deserve to be hated. But I saw that you were wearing it, so I wanted to comment on it. And he says, wow, that's amazing. And he said, would you pray for me? And I said, I would love to pray for you. And so standing next to him is a guy that looked like he was homeless, but he had been talking to him. And he says, do you know what? I need to tell you about a miracle. I said, a miracle? And he said, yes, this young man is my nephew. He said, I was adopted, and his mom is my sister. And he said, he found me in a recovery home. Oh, the Holy Spirit just lit us all three up, and it was amazing. I was hugging my brother and sister-in-law were in the car. My husband, my grandson, they were driving around. They came up and opened the door because we had to be at Long Beach Airport to take my brother to the He said, Grandma, you'll witness to anybody, won't you? And I said, yes.
Oh, this is grandma power. If you're a grandma, you could go up to the biker with the shirt that says, I hate people. I mean, that's grandma skills there. Well, can I just say, Victoria, what a great call and what a great story. We're going to actually, if you'll hold on the line too, we're going to give you a copy of the new book, Organic Disciples, 7 Ways to Grow Spiritually and Naturally Share Jesus. And I love that. Now, that was like, she turned up the temperature way high.
And, you know, Ed, that's organic.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get that in a book. You don't get that in a class. You're sitting there, you notice, the Holy Spirit prompts you. And that's the key, is that people, we need, as Christians, need to learn that God's giving those opportunities every day. Just pay attention. Just notice and step into what God's doing naturally, not pushy, not demanding, just gracious and kind of boy. You could hear grace in that voice, couldn't you?
Oh, I thought that was so awesome. I want Victoria's my new hero. That's the best call in a while. I just love that she goes up. I mean, again, because, you know, it's disarming to have a grandma come up to you. And again, it might be different depending upon, you know, who you are, you know, but looking for, you know, back to the, you know, praying with eyes wide open, to use your wife's book's title as well, looking for those opportunities really does make a difference. Let me remind everybody that our phone number invites you to call in. We're having some fun stories. We're talking to Kevin Harney. We're talking about some about his book, Organic Outreach. We're going to start talking more about his book, Organic Disciples, in just a moment. But we really enjoyed some of the conversations that people have been giving. I told you I have a great audience.
Yes.
Great listeners. Our phone number, maybe you got an example of some way that you have turned up the temperature a bit in your evangelism and sharing your faith and more. Our phone number is 877-548-3675. Again, that's 877-548-3675. I've got a note from my producer, Karen, saying that was a great call, and it was. That's my favorite grandma right now, Victoria. We're thankful for you as well. Okay, so when you see this happen, sometimes it happens at work, which leads to one of our questions here. And so we're going to go to George. George is up in River Grove, Illinois. George, you're live on the air with your question. Go right ahead.
Hi, thank you. So I manage people. I work in a hospital environment. I manage a lot of people, and you know, by their actions, by their speech, I can tell that most of these folks are not churchgoers, and I find it kind of hard to connect with them, or at least to be able to, you know, invite them to church? How do I, or at least speak the word to them? How do I go about that?
Yeah, and I think you also, and our call screener mentioned that sometimes it's with people who work for you because you're a manager, and that sometimes becomes a little bit tricky too. And I totally get that as well. So I want you to hold on and listen in just a moment. We're gonna weigh in on this question, but let me say he wants to know about how to start building some of those bridges. Mm-hmm. But let me mention that from a legal perspective, the sharing your faith outside of work time, so on your break, mm-hmm. in your lunchroom, those things of that sort, in a way that has no bearing on how you treat your employees who work for you, has been pretty much like everyone agreed. I think there was even a pamphlet put out jointly by some Christian ministry and some, I think it might have been the ACLU or something that's, pretty progressive. And they basically were saying that people at work can have conversations about faith on their off time and, when they're not forced, and where there's no ramifications if someone doesn't respond. We're going to continue our conversation with Kevin Harney in just a moment, and we're going to answer your call more specifically, George, on the other side. Stay with us. Our number, 877-548-3675. Hey, we're back. It's Stetzer Live. I'm Ed Stetzer. Continue our conversation with Kevin Harney. George, I want you to stay on the line, because after Kevin answers the rest of your question, Karen Hendren, our amazing producer, is going to come on the line and give you a copy of Organic Disciples, 7 Ways to Grow Spiritually and Naturally Share Jesus. So, all right, so he's looking for, I kind of addressed some of the legal questions. So he's looking for ways to build bridges with people at work. What do you think?
So I'm going to say something that might be shocking to hear a pastor of a local church say, because I'm a local church pastor, and that is, George, you said, you want to maybe find a way to invite him to church, and I'd say don't invite him to church, not right away. I'd say invite him over for burgers, brats, coleslaw, some potato salad, or whatever you like to cook. And if you're getting to know someone and you get along with them, invite them into your home, invite them into your life, hang out with them. They'll learn more about your faith by being in your home, in your backyard, meeting your family. And in that context, exactly like Ed just said, you have every right in the world to let the light of Jesus shine, to share who you are and share your life. And your life is immersed in the love and the grace of Jesus. And so I'd say start with a broader relational connection. And most people are much more open to come over for a barbecue or to hang out with you than they are to go to church with you. Start there. And then from there, you can build a relationship. And from then you can discern when a sermon series is coming up or a topic at your church that might really connect in their life, because you've got to know their life.
And, we spend so much time, that 9-to-5 window, we saw, he works at a hospital, so I'm guessing he's not always 9-to-5, but that's a lot of place where our relationships take place. So super, super call, George, great question as well. I want to hit some more calls, because we've got several more calls coming in. Matter of fact, I'm going to stop giving the number. We got so many calls coming in. But here's what I want to ask. I need callers because we're about the second half of the show. So we want to get right to it. So with your question or your comment or your example, I love that. And then we'll kind of press through. So we're going to go first to Mia in Orlando, Florida. Mia, you are live on the air with your comment. Jump right in.
Hey, hi. Yeah, I just wanted to let you know what my experience has been. I am a member of a fitness club, and I do laps in the pool, and I wear my AirPods. And usually, I would say almost always, when I'm done doing laps, another swimmer or another woman will ask me, hey, what are you listening to? And I'm always listening to a moody podcast, and it's usually some sort of Bible study. And it's so natural and so relaxed, and I get to share exactly whatever it is, the topic is. So it might be about the thief on the cross, or about Passover, or about how Jesus treated women, or what the Bible has to say about women and the role. And it always leads to a great conversation. Either the person might be a believer, but they might not be, and they're really curious. Mm-hmm. Oh, really? What are they saying on this podcast? What are you learning? And it leads to a great conversation.
Yeah, and I think I love, first of all, Mia, awesome, and I love Orlando, by the way, Lake Howell High School graduate here. So, one of the things is there's like a Mia has a tool in a sense that's prompting questions, and I think I have a pastor friend who thank you for your call, Mia. I want to give you a copy. I think we still have one more copy left, but hold on a second, I'll tell you about it in a minute. But I have a pastor friend who got a tattoo in Greek on his arm. I forget what it was now. Tetelestai, which is, it is finished. And of course, you know, I mean, I learned this from people, that people who get tattoos, when they're kind of creative, they kind of like are very happy when you ask them. And so everyone asks him, well, what's that mean? And what a great entree. And in her case, I mean, Mia, first of all, I didn't know you could like listen to podcasts while you were swimming. This is new news to me. She must have some sort of, you know, thing that does that. But my guess is, like, I would say to her, what are you listening to when you're swimming? I mean, it just, it's like prompters like that. Are there other things, Kevin, that you've seen that are prompters like that?
Yeah, and I want to say thank you to Mia also. And I love that she said, it's just so natural. That's what we mean by organic.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be scary for others or for us. Just be a human being. Just connect with people. Just be who you are. And you can have those conversations. I'll give one for everybody out there that I will tell you that probably in the next 2 to 3 weeks, someone's going to ask you a question that will open the door for a spiritual conversation. Let me tell you what that question is. It's powerful, and you're going to go, how did I walk past this my whole life? Someone's going to look at you and say, hey, what'd you do this weekend? What'd you do this weekend? People ask that all the time. And what you need to do is, when you're in church on Sunday, listen for one lesson that would be something you could share with a non-believer. Just tuck that away in your heart. And when someone says, what'd you do this weekend? You can, one of the things you should say is, you know, I went shopping. I went and watched my grandkids' soccer game. I went and did a hike. Oh, and I had an amazing time at my church. An amazing time. As a matter of fact, I learned some things that were life-changing. Pause. And most of you are going to say, like what? And share that thought. I learned this about how my personal finances and how generosity makes a difference. I learned this about my relational world. We're in a series right now at our church on 5 ways to make every relationship better. And this week, Pastor Dr. Ed Stetzer is talking about bringing Jesus some way, bringing your spiritual life into your relationships. We're talking about, next week I'm going to talk about making time. But you can tuck away a simple lesson from your Sunday sermon, your Sunday school class, something you learned, something you experienced. And when someone says, what'd you do this weekend? Make sure you let them know that you were gathered together with a group of people and you learned some life-changing things. And see if they don't ask you, like what? And when you share, they'll realize that our faith really does change our lives.
So good. So good. And I love Mia's example, and I love so many other examples. And it's just a reminder, Kevin, that evangelism's not dead. I mean, people are, and the culture's become more hostile. We get that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also worth noting that earlier, as a pastor, you said, you know, don't necessarily invite them first to church, because the perception of church has grown more negative in people's mind. Not, we're still pro inviting people to church. Easter, Christmas, great times. If you're doing a series of outreach, great times. But I think, too, the gospel's kind of normal delivery system is through relationships.
Yes.
And the fact that Mia has somebody saying to her, hey, what you listening to? Probably because somehow she's swimming and listening at the same time, which I'm barely breathing when I'm swimming, so what do I know? But super, super, Mia, thank you so much for your call, and really, really helpful as well. And I think, George, we gave you a book earlier, good, so we're making sure folks have that. All right, let's go to Lindsay in Blooming Grove, Texas. I don't think I've ever heard of Blooming Grove, Texas. Lindsay, you're live on the air with your question or your comment.
Hi, yes. I have a comment of my example of discipleship. I'm fairly new into studying the Bible, probably a few years. And at first I thought I had to go on mission somewhere, right, to disciple the people. And then I finally realized I can do it wherever I am. I work south of Dallas, so I'm kind of all over the place throughout the week. So as I study the Bible, I like to write down the verses that reach out to me the most, and I keep them with me wherever I go, and I just pass them out, or I'll leave them in the bathroom or on a table at a restaurant, just wherever I go. And I look for signs for God to reach out, you know, to other people. Recently, my church kind of empowered me, and we are downtown, and we have these events. We had a Blue Bonnet Festival. And I purchased 500 snacks and put Bible verses on every single one of them. And I single-handedly passed them out to everybody in the crowd. I didn't speak about it. I just walked up to people in need. I had waters. Said, would you like a snack? And some people were so grateful. And then there were others that were like, why? Because I would say, these are free. They're free of charge. And they would look at me and say, why?
And I would point to my church and I would say, I'm here passing out snacks, inviting people to church.
Wow.
And I did that all day. And we have another festival coming up. That's recently, that's been my ministry. The Lord told me at the beginning of this year, he gave me the name of sower. I am a sower of his word, and he can speak better than I can. So I just leave his messages everywhere I go.
Oh, that's so super, Lindsay. Good for you. And what I love the intentionality that's there. Now, I would say, I mean, we're 100% for that. We want more than that. I would say that level of intentionality I often hear from like churches, like I think we're here. Isn't there like a marathon here this weekend?
Yeah. So Big Sur Marathon.
So I'm sure some church is going to be out there handing out water bottles. And I love that. But I love the fact that like Lindsay's not doing it with her church. She's doing it on her own. And even I love that as well. Lindsay, I'm out of books, but I would give you a copy if I had them of Organic Disciples, Seven Ways to Grow Spiritually and Naturally Share Jesus. But I love that. But I love how Lindsay has just intentionally sought opportunities to do those. Well, I mean, like, I don't know what, because I don't know that that's organic. That's like, there's a boldness there that I really think is really great. We're for all of that. We're for people sharing information with their neighbors. We're for people handing out gospel tracts. I'm for people doing creative things at fairs, you know, sharing the gospel with their family. Love all of that. Okay, we got one more segment left. Our phone number is 877-548-3675. We're going to talk when we get back about organic disciples and how to grow spiritually and naturally share Jesus. Hey, we're back at Stetzer Live. We're in our final segment today. We've got Kevin Harney as our guest. His new book with Sherry Harney is called Organic Disciples, Seven Ways to Grow Spiritually and Naturally Share Jesus. Let's take one more call, and then I want to ask you a few questions about the book that the new book. When did it come out? How new is it?
It came out about a year ago.
Okay, super, super. Okay, so I think this call is actually from someone who's from your old stomping grounds, Hudsonville, Michigan. You know where Hudsonville, Michigan is?
I served for 20 years in West Michigan there in that area, so I know it very, very well.
All right, well, let's go to Kathy in Hudsonville, Michigan. You're live on the air, Kathy.
Hi, thank you. I want to say that I give all glory to God. And my husband's a pastor also who has served here for over 25 years. And we lost our son 7 years ago with a heart attack. He was only 32. And that was tragic. I mean, it was heartbreaking. And I have to say, after 3 days, the Holy Spirit gave me a peace that I just cannot explain to people. It's just something that he gave me a peace. He's given me words to say. And the people he has brought into my life that have lost children, I'm amazed. I am just amazed, and I never am afraid to talk about the glory of God and the peace of God, the Holy Spirit. I just am thankful that God has given me that the words, because I couldn't have done this. No way. No way could I have done this without that.
Mm. Well, let me say, Kathy, we grieve with you. I know that's hard, heartbreaking, but I also am so thankful that you you know, that pain is just a connection point, and the Lord bringing grace and peace in the midst of that. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times in the midst of a difficult situation or from a difficult situation, I've heard somebody share the gospel from their pain to somebody in pain and the difference it made.
And, you know, Ed, we have a ministry at our church called Grief Share. We didn't invent it. It's out there. It's in lots of churches. But the couple that started that ministry in our church had lost their college son in his senior year of college in a tragic accident. And this couple, Terry and Betsy, after a number of years of walking through grief and experiencing God's touch and healing and presence, felt like they were ready to help others. And so we've had over the last decade many, many, many extended sessions of Grief Share. And it's amazing how many non-believers, because we advertise it in the community, how many non-believers have come to find comfort and care and discovered that ultimately the best place to find that comfort and care is the God who made them and the God who watches over them. And so just so thankful for your testimony of God's grace and presence through that deep loss. And again, we grieve with you over that loss. But that God can take those things and redeem them. And so for churches, if you don't have a grief share, a ministry for people going through grief and bringing Jesus in the midst of that, that may be a natural way, an organic, natural way to connect people who are looking for comfort and care to Jesus, to the local church, and to people who will love them and walk with them.
Yeah, you know, I once told, I think it was Kay Warren, of Rick and Kay Warren, that I thought that the greatest ministry they have would not be the books that they wrote, or, and again, we're friends, it was context of that. It's not something I would blurt out to a stranger, but probably the greatest impact, that is when they shared their pain. I remember, I think it was Larry King back in the day, I was flying from Nashville to Dallas, and I think he was on Larry King, and they were on Larry King, just sharing about the pain of their son who had died by suicide, there were crowds of people. When I left Dallas, I was flying back to Nashville, there were crowds of people around the television watching them talk about it. And when I landed in Nashville, there were crowds of people still there. And so, because I think there's something about, and so I'm so thankful that first of all, that God gave you grace and peace in the midst of that. You mentioned 3 days after, but I know the grief comes in waves, but also how you continue to honor the Lord and honor his memory as well. So Kathy, thank you so much for your call as well. All right, talk to me a little bit, Kevin, about, because you had organic outreach, and then last year you and Sherry wrote this book, Organic Disciples, which sort of ties in. When we hear discipleship, we think of like kind of post-Christian growth.
Yep.
But the full title is Organic Disciples, 7 Ways to Grow Spiritually, like that, and still naturally share Jesus. I love how that's there. But talk to us some about those ways to grow spiritually that you talk about in the book.
Well, it was interesting when Sherry and I had written 3 books about outreach, Organic Outreach for Ordinary People, kind of our personal outreach, Organic Outreach for Churches, as a congregation, how we reach out, and then Organic Outreach for Families, how do you turn the place you live into a lighthouse? And so we thought, we're done with writing about that topic. And then a national group in New Zealand actually said, will you come and spend a week speaking to us about how discipleship, our spiritual growth, connect with outreach, evangelism? And we said, well, that's not really our thing. I'm an evangelist. I have the calling of an evangelist. That's kind of our thing. And this group kept pushing on us. So we spent about 6 months studying and preparing. And as we were doing that, we really felt like God was opening our eyes to the important connection between how we grow in Jesus and how we go with Jesus. And if we're growing in Jesus, we should be going with Jesus. So what we've learned is that all of the practices of our spiritual lives, all of the things that we do to grow personally, make us more like Jesus. That's the idea. And when we become more like Jesus, guess what? Our heart is like Jesus, and his heart was always for the lost, for the forgotten and the broken. So we discovered that passionate prayer, if you're a person of prayer, you'll grow to pray for those that are lost and even pray with non-believers. I can tell you, if I give you one takeaway today that could be an amazing life changer and game changer for your listeners in terms of their outreach, personal outreach in a natural way, is that if you're a person of prayer and you're growing in prayer, when you are talking with somebody, a non-believer, and they share about a deep moment of pain, if you say to them, you know, listen, I really believe that there's power in prayer. I don't want to put any pressure on you, but I would be so honored if I could take a moment right now and just pray for you in what you're going through, in this loss you've gone through, and you lost your job, you lost a child, you lost a relationship. And I can tell you, Ed, thousands of times I've done that with non-believers, atheists, thousands of times. I've had 4 times, I can count them on one hand, that someone has said no. Yeah. Almost everyone says, you would do that for me? Or I'd love that. Or they tear up in there. And so if I could say to your listeners, when someone shares a deep pain, if you would very kindly say, I'd be honored if I could take just a moment and pray for you. And you can actually, you don't even have to close your eyes. We can just talk right here to God. And most people will say yes. And God shows up in those moments. And if someone shares an incredible joy, I just got a raise at my job. I just got a new job. I just became a grandpa or a grandma. At that moment, say, you know, would you mind? Can I just take a moment and thank God for that and pray? And won't use any weird language, won't say anything strange. I just want to thank God for that. And if someone says no, thank you, no problem. But normally they say yes, and that opens the door for the presence of Jesus. Each part of our spiritual lives, in the word and prayer and worship, all of those can and should lead us out to the world with the gospel of Jesus.
So when you, in the book, do you kind of walk through, like, you know, I don't want to just list all 7 practices because we really wouldn't have time, but what are some of the ways to grow spiritually that you include in that?
So wholehearted worship, growing in your worship, can lead, and worshipers go out to the world. Passionate prayer, biblical engagement, humble service. Jesus served, so we serve. Joyful generosity. In a selfish world, Christians who are generous, that speaks to the world. organic outreach, consistent community, being in the family of God. The more we're connected to the family, we can invite people into that family. All of these, there's these seven primary practices that were modeled by Jesus, taught by Jesus. They will lead you to the world with the gospel.
And so who would the audience for this book be? Is this new Christians? Is it going to be something that small groups can do? Old Christians have been a Christian for a while. Tell us.
There's a small group curriculum that comes with it. There's videos that are free on the Organic Outreach website. That's organicoutreach.org. Or you can go to organicdisciples.org, and you can find the videos for free. Our publisher told us that we created more free resources for that book than any they've ever seen in the history of Christianity. They said
since 2,000 years,
giving it away. They keep the records, not me.
And it's also a publisher, so you know you never believe them.
But almost everything, we put these things out there for free, and there's sermon materials for pastors free, small group materials for free, and so just we want to help Christians grow so they can go.
Love it, love it. And, of course, the title of the book is Organic Disciples, Seven Ways to Grow Spiritually and Naturally Share Jesus by Kevin and Jerry Harney. And you guys, I mean, people don't realize just how many, you're a pastor here, but, you're not, this super famous pastor.
Nope.
But your books have sold millions of copies around the world. And, again, that's why I always enjoy to bring you into Moody Church. I recommend Organic Outreach all the time, and now I'm adding Organic Disciples to that as well. So let me thank Kevin Harney, our guest, for joining us today. Thanks to our behind-the-scenes team at Moody Radio, Karen Hendren and Bob Moreau. I've already mentioned Laura's on the phones today. And what great callers. Thank you for our callers today. And super, super helpful conversations as well. To hear today's program again, you'll find it at edstetzerlive.com or at the Moody Radio app. Remember, I said at the beginning, you can download this program and all of our programs as podcasts and listen to them anytime. I think we've got some good conversations, good guests. So make sure you go to edstetzerlive.com, subscribe by podcast as well. You can connect with us through social media, all at Ed Stetzer Live. And of course, Ed Stetzer Live is part of a family of programs that are all part of Moody Radio and then goes out with our partners and affiliates and all around the world. But Moody Radio produces this, and Moody Radio is a ministry of Moody Bible Institute. So here from Monterey, California, Ed Stetzer, the Dean at the Talbot School of Theology at Biola University, says, thanks for listening. Looking forward to be back with you next Saturday.